All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go straight to the Word. I want you to turn. I'm going to mess Alex up a little bit. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. That's not the original scripture I gave you. But turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. We are in a series on strengthening the foundations. We talked last week about the importance of having a strong foundation. When you build a building is only as good as the foundation it stands on. And the Lord was showing me that we have some basics in our Christianity and in our faith that if we will make sure and incorporate these things in our lives, that we'll have a strong foundation for which he can do more. And I'm excited this morning because the one that I want to talk to you about is one that has radically changed my life. This discipline, this teaching has transformed everything about who I am. It's transformed me from, I can't even say how different I am because of this particular discipline. And I believe that it's the discipline that sometimes we skip over a lot in church. We kind of think we have it all together, but today I want to kind of bring it into a light where you begin to understand that you can't just casually do this. Because if you casually do this, you will miss the life that God has created for you to have. I think it's that important. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. Proverbs chapter 3, 1 through 2. You don't have to stand. We declare that this is God's word. We declare this morning that it is God speaking to us. And we declare that God is opening our hearts this morning to receive his words. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. You don't have to stand, but if you could read with me, the words will appear on your screen. We're reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. That's what they're up there for. So can we read Proverbs 3, 1 and 2 together? My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Thank you, Father God, for this word this morning. I pray that you would come in, that you would preach it with vigor and power. Lord, that if there are any cracks in our foundation in this area, Holy Spirit, I ask that you will fix them this morning, that we will return back to doing the things that you've called us to do, and that life-transforming, life-giving power can be released in us in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. So today I want to talk to you about feeding on the word. Somebody say feeding on the word. Now, what's interesting is you would think in Christianity that studying and reading the Bible is just a staple. People should just do it. But the Barna Research Group did a survey, and it showed that only 18% of people who profess to be born-again Christians read their Bible every day. Only 18% of people who profess to be born-again Christians read their Bible every day. Now, that is a startling number in and of itself. But when they continued in their research, they also discovered that of all Christians, only 23% read their Bible at all. Period. Even look at it. That's disturbing. When you begin to look at the power of the Word of God and what the Word of God wants to do in our life, it is very disturbing that only 23% of Christians even look at their Bible. Now, you don't have to sit here and try to figure out which one you're in. I don't really care. The point is that this is foundational to who we are as believers. Now, this is a passage. Can you imagine? Let me just say this before I go on. Can you imagine going for weeks and weeks and weeks on end without eating? What happens if you go weeks and weeks without eating? You die. Well, let's take just a couple days. Some of y'all are fasting, and when you fast and you don't eat for a day or two, you begin to attitude. You hanger issues kicked in. You can't even function. My kids can't even go a few hours without hanger issue kicking in. Come on, somebody. If you don't eat, your body goes through this massive thing where it starts to crave and cringe and act up and attitude. All these things begin to happen. That's just the emotional effect. But if you keep going long enough without reading the word, or I'm sorry, without having food, what will happen is your body will absolutely die. And this word, this book, the Bible describes it as the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and he is the word of God, which means I'll talk about that a little bit. This book is supposed to feed and nurture us each and every day. What happens when we miss a day with God? Hunger kicks in. Where you used to have peace and used to be able to let folks say stuff to you, you miss a few days of spending time in your word. You will go back quicker than your BC days. You know, before Christ Day, you will go back to cussing. And okay, maybe this is just me. I will cuss you out. Lauren says amen. Stop it, Lauren. She was on the backside of that a few times. Come on. But you begin to learn that the more that you spend time in your word, the more you feed your spirit. And if you stop for a long period of time, you will see spiritual death happen. What do you mean by spiritual death? Do you mean I'm going to die physically? No, 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 no. What I mean is where you used to sense the presence of God, where you used to feel like you knew what God was saying, you are absolutely clueless. You have no idea. You feel like you out here by yourself. And not only that, you feel like you have no, like God is nowhere near you. I don't know about you, but David said, whatever you do, don't take your presence from me. You can do anything you want to, but don't take your presence. So how do we keep the presence of God? How do we keep the awareness of God and his life and his ideas and his ways? How do we keep that alive and active in our life? It's through feeding on the word every day. Now, this scripture in Proverbs chapter 3 is so powerful because it's written by Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man in all of the world. Solomon had a father. His father was David. And David taught Solomon to value the word of God. And so Solomon's beginning to write, and he's talking to his son, and he says, look, my son, do not forget my law. Now, what you need to know is he's not talking about as a king the law that I wrote. He's talking about the law of the word of God. He's telling his child, whatever you do, don't forget God's word. Now, you could almost see this as a father who is writing like it's his last days, although it wasn't. You almost kind of have that feel when you read Solomon in Proverbs. But he's like, look, don't forget. Now, what I like about this is he didn't say, my son, read the word. As if he had never told him to read the word before. He said, my son, don't forget my law, because he had already taught him to study and read the word. So I'm coming to you as believers who I'm sure you have heard somewhere in your Christian walk, you need to read the Bible. I'm coming to you just like Solomon did to his son and say, look, I know you're supposed to read it, but don't forget. Don't forget, because in your everyday life, it's easy to forget to read the Bible. Yeah, okay, y'all don't like me, okay. I woke up extra late this morning. Oh, I don't have time this morning. That's okay. I'll do it at lunch. But then somebody invites you out to lunch. So you go out to lunch. And then you forget, oh, I'll do it when I go home after dinner. But then you go home after dinner and you got the kids pulling on you, or your friends say, let's go do this. And then before you know it, you'll say, I'll do it before I go to bed. And then you lay down and you get ready to do it before you go to bed. But then you're too tired. So when you open your book, you fall asleep. What did you do all day? You forgot my law. You forgot. And you say, well, I'll do it again tomorrow. But because you were so tired, because you hung out so late the night before, the cycle continues. And you wake up. Look, come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit wakes you even. He even wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But you was just too tired. So you laid in the bed with your mind running on stuff. Because you felt like, if I don't get more sleep, watch this, I won't be able to function for the rest of the day. So I'll just wake up later, and then you oversleep again, and the cycle continues. And before you know it, it hasn't just been a couple days since you've read your word. You can't even find your Bible. You don't even know where you, come on, I ain't the only one. You're like, I know, I just had it. So, and this is why I love journaling, because when you journal, what happens is you can see the last time you spent time with God, and you think it was just like, oh, I'm sure it was just a day or so ago. And you look in your journal, you're like, dang, it's been like 12 days since I met with him. And then you feel all bad. Oh, I'm so sorry, God. I don't know what happened to me. God said, you forgot. You forgot. And every time that happens, what begins to happen is cracks begin to form in your foundation. And you begin to wonder, why am I compromising? I would have never did that. How did I end up doing that? How did I let this sin creep in again? You know why? Because we had a crack in our foundation and we forgot. We forgot to study, to eat. We forgot to eat that day. We forgot the word. Solomon said, look, my dad taught me about these precious words. And my dad said to me, he said, look, my son, don't forget get my law. Well, why does he so encourage? Why did he want him to not forget the law so bad? It was because Solomon's father knew that when you read the word, you get wisdom. And not just worldly wisdom, not just like what I should do, am I smart enough? You get wisdom from Almighty God. Here's the weird thing. Solomon's father, David, was like, son, get wisdom. He even wrote it in Proverbs somewhere, and all you're getting, get wisdom and get an understanding. Get wisdom. Get in the word of God so that you can be wise. Let me tell you something. When you spend time in the word, you have the knowledge and the insight of somebody who has been around since before the beginning of time. So you trying to figure out a solution to your own problem, you only got about 25, 30, 40, 50 years of mind knowledge. God has been around for thousands and thousands upon years, and he is releasing that knowledge to you through his word. And you want to know, how come I don't know what to do? When the last time you read your word? Uh-oh. How many of us get in situations where we're like, God, I need to know your will. But we don't want to read the word to know his will. We just want him to tell us. I think I told you, my sons are going through this thing where they're trying to figure out where they want to play baseball this spring. And I've left it to them. Probably not the wisest choice because they're going to have me running everywhere. But that's not the point. The Holy Spirit said, if you leave it to them, they're going to get to know my voice, and they're going to learn how to make a decision based on hearing my voice. And so I said, well, we're going to try this. And we sat down together, and I said, well, what do you sense God saying? Nothing. I said, well, when's the last time you read your Bible? In class. Well, that'll do it. Yeah, they'll read their Bible in class. And then the youngest one, Joshua, he said, well, you know, I do remember the last time I was in class, and we were reading my Bible. I kind of got this sense that I was supposed to go play over here. And I said, ding, 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 ding. That's God talking to you. When you read your Bible in Bible class, come on, somebody. God spoke a little nudge in you. And he was like, well, I forgot all about that. Well, that's why we journal, but that's another day. You guys understand what I'm saying? It was like so clear to me. It was like, you're 11, and when you read the word, God showed you something. The same is true for you and I. You want God to speak to you. You want God to help you through stuff. All you've got to do to get this wisdom is read the word. And we just kind of like, no, I, you know what? We value so many other books. And we value podcasts. And look, I love, I'm a podcast queen. I listen to podcasts. Jen actually has me listening to them while I get dressed now. I used to only listen to them in the car, but because my car rides are so short now, I can't listen to them. So I was like, what am I going to listen to them? She said, just put them on when you get dressed. I said, yes. I'm like, I listen to so many different podcasts, so many different people, and I love it. But I never allow the podcast to replace my time in the Word on my own. Because the podcasts are always somebody else telling you what God said. God don't want you to have secondhand knowledge of his word. I don't know about you, but I don't want no secondhand food. Somebody then ate it and chewed it first, and then they want to give it to me. I ain't no baby. I don't need that. Uh-uh. I want my steak fresh where I chew it my own self. See, when you listen to other people, it should supplement. It means it should add on to what you're doing in the word. So that when you read your word, when you listen to the podcast, something in your spirit will jump and it will confirm what you read in your word that day. So the podcast should be confirmation. They should not be your sole source of food. I'm even talking about the podcast from here. If you only have 30 minutes in the morning, don't pop me on. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. And you might say, well, I got to be moving. Do you not know Bible apps nowadays will read the Word to you? We ain't got no excuse in this day and age for not getting the Word in us. You can have a Bible app. Now, I will grant it, she sounds a little robotic. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I was like, why is she all like up and she does know the tones and the inclinations are not well, but you're still getting the Word. It's still the Word of God. It's so important. Let me tell you how important the Word of God is. There was a time in a communist country in Russia where they could not study God's Word. Bibles were illegal. And this one man started talking about how there was a group of people who had found, check this out, not a Bible, but just one page, one little page. And it was in the book of John. And they had grabbed that one page. And what they would do is they would get together. And one day a week, they would read that one page over and over again. And then they would take that one page and they would circle it around to each person, different people each week. And that person would take careful, be very careful with it and fold it and put it in their pocket. And every day they would study it and they would meditate on it and they would memorize it. And they would come back and they'd read that same page over and over. That's all they had was one page of the Bible. And every time they got together, God spoke something fresh. God spoke something new. God showed them something about their life. Each and every time with just one page of the Bible. Now, the problem in our country is we got Bibles everywhere. You go home to your house, you probably got so many Bibles on your shelf, it's ridiculous. Not only do you have Bibles, you've got multiple translations and different commentaries. You've got a phone that's got an app that can give you a Bible. We were talking one day and somebody was pulling up their Bible and said, oops, that's Spanish. Hold on, let me get the right. You can get it in different languages even. But you know why? Because it's so easily accessible, we don't value it no more. We don't see that it's important anymore. My son, do not forget my law. Do not forget my law. Why is this book so special? I want you to know that God took tremendous care to get you the book that you have today that's called the Bible. It wasn't like when the Bible was written, they had copy machines. And they just copied a whole bunch of things and distributed it to people and say, come on, here you go. That's not the case. And what's interesting is I, over the Christmas holidays, I tend to, when I have a little more time, I tend to get involved in Facebook wars. You know what a Facebook war is? Somebody posts something about Christianity or about Jesus, and I'd be like, I'm going to be the writer of all wrongs and stand up for God today. And I get in these wars. And so one of my friends from college posted something about a girl who decided to leave the church when she was a Christian. It was the best thing she'd ever done. And she said she left the church because the church didn't care about her blackness. And I was like, well, why don't you go protest and ask the church to come join? I mean, why the church? My response was, why the pastor got to do all the work? Why you want the pastor to organize? Can't you organize? It's like 200 of y'all. It's one of me. Y'all got a cause, go organize. I'll support. I can't go fight every cause. But it was so interesting. So I wrote that. And they were like, well, you seem to be open. Let me ask you a few questions. Here we go. And now I knew where this was going. But I was like, you know what? I got a little time on my hands. It's the Christmas holidays. Let's hit it. The person's first question was, how can you believe in a Bible written by man that was written to control us? I was like, well, I don't believe in that Bible, but I believe in the God of the Bible who wrote a Bible who was written so that we can love him, not to be controlled by him. They're like, well, what are you talking about? Well, I see this, and I just got so upset. And I'm like, well, let me just teach you a few things, and I'm going to teach you what I taught him, okay? The funny part is that people always say this Bible was written to control somebody else. But every time I read the Bible, I see freedom. Jesus said, I came to give you free. I came to set captives free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to release people from bondage. That's what he came to do. And I'm saying the reason why you think it's that way, because you ain't never read it. When you read it, you'll see what it said. It ain't trying to, well, what about all the slavery issues? You black. I know I'm black. I don't need you to remind me I'm black. But slavery has existed before black people got to America. Slavery existed everywhere. Okay, I'm just it's Martin Luther King weekend. I can talk about black people this weekend. I always get the militant, radical black people who are like, no, it's meant by the white men. Look, let me tell you something. I done had more white people do stuff for me than I had black folks. So don't talk to me about the white man trying to hurt me. Oh, I'm kind of off. Let's focus. But I came back to this. I said, do you not know that all scripture is God-breathed? God breath, and he's like, I understand that. And I start thinking and I started praying about it, and I realized that people who do not have a relationship with God don't understand what God breathed means. And I started saying, have you ever had a situation when you got saved and you start telling somebody about Jesus and you knew that those words didn't come from you? You knew you couldn't have put it that way if you thought about it, planned it, prepared it, fixed it, wrote an essay on it, came up with a scripture and a title reference. You couldn't have made it any better. But the Holy Ghost just brought it so gentle and sweet, and it just came out so loving. That's what God breathed means. It means the Spirit of God is working through you, and you don't even know or understand how it's happening. You just got it. If you've ever preached a sermon, it's real. I mean, it's alive there. Because you'd be like, I didn't even write that on the paper. And he just flowing. That's what God breathed means. And people who have never had the Spirit of God operating in them and flowing through them do not understand what God breathed means. But there are over 40 different authors of different scriptures, chapters and books in the Bible, 66 different books written by 40 different authors, and yet what's interesting is they all have a consistent theme and say a consistent message. This book was written over the course of 2,000 to 3,000 years, and yet there was still consistency written between each one. It amazes me that I can look in Old Testament, written thousands of years before Jesus came in the book of Isaiah, and see the prophecies that were written about Jesus Christ, of which 300 prophecies that were written down in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ fulfilled every single one of them. How in the world can a man 1,000, 1,500 years ago write about a man that's about to come and that man fulfill 300 of those things that you say about them? I can't even write about what's going to happen with my child tomorrow and it come to pass. Come on, this is God breathed. This is from God. Don't ever let anybody tell you that this book is some random thing. This has been the number one bestseller on the New York Times bestselling list for years. And the sad part about it is it was written and almost completed close to 2,000 years ago. Not quite, but a little under about 1,600, 1,700 years ago. The book was finished. And ain't nobody added nothing to it since then. But it's still a bestseller. Still a bestseller. You want to know what else? Something else about this book? Not only is it fulfilled prophecy, but it is historically accurate. Because this person was saying to me, like, well, they posted this video of a pastor who left his church because he says, I've been enlightened with the truth. Ain't nobody in the Bible real people. I said, I don't even know why you're posting this idiocracy. Because we can prove that there are kings who absolutely lived during certain times. We can look back through the Roman culture. We can look back through Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire alone proves that the people in the Bible are real. Kids who don't go to Christian school study about the Babylonian Empire. Dun, dun, dun. It's very real. And what I've discovered, let me say this about this wonderful person, is that this person is highly educated. And the problem with being highly educated sometimes is you just know too much. And sometimes when you, now I'm educated. I got some, my brother say I got more degrees than a thermometer. So I'm not against education at all. As a matter of fact, I value education tremendously. But my challenge is I talked to this person. I said, you are that educated, but you never check your sources. You got random people posting stuff who have no credibility behind them. I was able to post an article about the fact that the Bible and the characters were real, and it had 20 different journals, archaeological papers, writings from people who are well-known in their field proving that the Bible and the people of the Bible really did exist. You know what he sent me? An article from a guy who lied about his credentials and was teaching African-American history at Cornell until they found out he was a liar. I said, yeah, you ain't got a whole lot to talk to me about. The Bible is very accurate. This is the care God took to bring you this word. He wanted to make sure when you got it, you absolutely knew it was true. Do you not know that there, like, watch this, there is an accuracy with the Bible, a reliability of the text that is like none other that's ever existed. One of the greatest works of literature in all times is the Iliad by Homer. And the Iliad contains 15,000 lines of literary text. And through time, because they didn't have original copy machines, people would hand copy the text. Now, have y'all ever tried to hand copy stuff from your books in school? You always make mistakes. Come on, don't you? You don't put periods where you're supposed to. Well, we can just determine the accuracy of a text by how many handwritten copies we have and how many errors do we have in those handwritten copies. Well, the Iliad, which is well known as to be a great literary work, has 15,600 lines of text. 746 of those lines have errors or omissions in multiple forms of text. Now, the New Testament has 20,000 lines, which is more than the Iliad. And only 40 of those lines have some textual error. 40 compared to 736. And those 40 textual errors are things like a missed period or a difference in spelling of words. For instance, we spell theater T-H-E-A-T-E-R. Some people spell it T-H-E-A-T-R-E. That's considered a textual error. But it does not change the doctrine. It does not change the message. It doesn't change anything in the lines of text. Only 40 lines have errors. Do you not know? Have y'all ever heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? Okay. Before the Dead Sea Scrolls, the oldest Old Testament manuscript dated back to the 10th century AD, which meant the oldest manuscript they had came from about 900 AD. Now, there was this huge hiatus between finding any other existing copies of Old Testament until the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in 1948. In 1948, the Dead Sea Scrolls were categorized as the most significant archaeological discovery of the 20th century. And here's why. A scroll of the complete text of the book of Isaiah was found, and that copy was dated back to 125 BC. So they actually had a scroll when somebody copied Isaiah's rose down from 125 BC. Now you would think 125 BC is when we have it, found it, but the most recent scroll we have is 900 AD. There's almost 1,000 years in there. There's got to be some misprints because it's hand copies, right? Well, what they found was that the integrity of the original text that they found in the Dead Sea Scroll was 99.9% the same as what they found 1,000 years later. And the 0.1% of inaccuracies were those misspellings of words because of different times periods. That's it. God took great care to get you the book that's sitting in your lap. To make sure that when you read it, you knew it was the truth. You knew it was his word. You knew that it came from him. This book is not just a book that had all of these accuracies. This book is God himself. Jesus, the Bible says in John 1:1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was of God. And then John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who became flesh? Jesus Christ. The Word is Jesus Christ. Anytime you open this book, this is Him. This is Jesus coming alive to you. So when you talk about, I don't have time to meet Him, or I forgot, you are not saying I don't have time to read some random book. You are saying I don't have time to meet with Almighty God. Because this is me and Him face to face. This book changed my life. I have read a lot of books because I enjoy reading, many of which are fantastic, and I can recommend some great books. But none of them have impacted me. None of them has spoke to me. None of them have transformed my way of thinking. None of them have saved me from my sin. None of them have kept me from being a hoe. None of them have kept me from lying and cheating and like this book. None like this book. And it's not just because I hold it and put it under my arms, y'all. And because I'm a pastor and I walk around. Because let me tell you something, holding it is not eating it. Some of y'all are fasting. And Friday night, people were fasting. We had people doing the Daniel fast, and we had snacks at our meeting. Thank God for Pastor Jen, who brought fruit, vegetables, because so many people were like, oh, my God. I saw somebody literally take a plate of cookies and just left them right there. Look, having the cookie in your hand wasn't the same as eating it, digesting it. Some of us are just sniffing the Bible. We're not letting it come into us. Yep, God's real. I got the, no. Ingest it. The Bible says your words came, Jeremiah said your words came, and I ate them. I ate them. What does that mean? I opened this up, and I let that word get into me, and I digest it. You know, when you eat, you chew on it. I thought about it. I considered it. I prayed about it. I looked at it. I looked at it from all different angles. I mean, I took every nutrient out of that word that I could. And when I do that, that's when real change begins to happen. 2017, you want to change your life? Eat the word. Eat the word. Now, let me give you a couple benefits, and then I'm going to get out of here. Proverbs 3:1, again, he says, look, my son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Here's a benefit. He says, for length of days and long life and peace will I add to you. He says, if you read my word, you will have length of days and long life and peace. Let me break those down for you. Long life means I live a long time. How many of y'all want to live a long time? Okay, I know there are days when you don't, when you just like, I'm ready to get up out of here. These people get on my nerves. But I'm talking about in general, you want to live a long life. The Bible says that if you'll read my word, you'll live a long life. Now, I thought living a long life was enough, but it didn't just say for a long life. It says for long life and length of days, which means there must be something different between long life and length of days. What is the difference, I asked God, between long life and length of days? And the Lord says this, you know how you got a million things to do in a day, and at the end of the day, you still got more stuff to do than you got day? He said, length of days means if you read my word, I will supernaturally gift you so that all those things you have to get done somehow or another magically get done. Come on, somebody. And so now you got more done, watch this, in the same 24-hour period than somebody else. That's what's so funny. You think you got so much to do, you don't have time to be with God. God's like, you got so much to do, you don't have time not to be with me. I woke up yesterday and, it has to all go back to, you know how it's always one day affects the next, you know, and a child had a test and he didn't do his work. So we was up to 12 o'clock at night. And then, you know, that just drives me up a wall. Why? I got to be up with you. And I'll just hear the Lord saying, because nobody was up with you when you were a kid. Well, I came out all right, Jesus. But anyway, so I'm up with him at midnight, and then he's like, Mom, you got to wake me up at 6 o'clock in the morning because I still got to finish my homework. Oh, my God. So I'm up with him at 6 o'clock in the morning. Don't have time during the day on Friday. Got games. We have a young adults on Friday night, and I'm Saturday morning faced with this massive amount of work. Saturday morning. Here's what I'm faced with. I ain't finished y'all devotional yet that was supposed to be out to y'all on Friday. Like writing it, not graphing it and doing the graph. I ain't even written it to do the graphics to put the book together. So I literally put together that full week on Saturday. Not to mention we have a prayer summit. Oh, my God. And I got to pray too. Come on, God. And I don't have a sermon yet. Now, I already knew where I was going. Don't think I haven't done any work. But I had already planned, but I hadn't had a chance to finalize it, right, and all this stuff. So I'm like, look, God, we just got, what the heck happened this week? You ever had those weeks? Now, some of y'all are like me, where you thrive in procrastination. You do your best work when you up against the clock. And then there are those of you who are like my son, Joshua. He cannot function when it's last minute. He has to plan. I thank God that he is like his father in that way. The oldest one is like me. He last minute Betty. And the other one is like his daddy. He just got to have it done early. He just got. I love him for that. So I'm looking at all this work. And I thought that morning, I got up. I got to have my devotion. And the first thought I had was, well, you're going to be reading the Bible all day anyway. You got to prepare a message. You got to do these devotionals. You got to do this. So you can just skip it. Now, this is very real when you're in ministry. Because when you're in ministry, you think you're preparing a message for somebody else. So you think when you sit down and you read the Bible that you're really reading it. You ain't really reading it. You're preparing a message. That's different. And the Lord said, you're not going to do that. Because you're going to take some time to spend with me. Okay, God. You ever notice when you don't have time is the time when God gives you the most? I mean, I got so much out of that. I was like, I don't have time to be reviewing and writing and going through it. And God's like, wait, I ain't done yet. I ain't done yet. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I look up. It's 30 minutes before it's time for me to get to the prayer summit. Are you kidding me, God? Here's what I want to say. Somehow or another, supernaturally, all that, I still went to prayer. I still had my time with God. I still read my word. And everything on that list got done yesterday. And I was able to go to bed by 12:30. So I wasn't up till 5 o'clock in the morning to do it. What am I trying to tell you? I know you have a lot to do. But the Bible promises you, if you will not forget his word, he will give you length of days. And not just length of days, long life and peace. The peace is enough in itself. Just to be able to go like, I done read my word, and I know you acting crazy, but I ain't worried. Had a situation this week. I'm telling you, this is so relevant to me, and I'm talking about, I've been saved since I was 7. I've been reading my word probably since I was 19. I didn't read my word too much before 19. I was reading my word probably about since 19, and I still value reading his word every day. Just this week, I had a situation where somebody was going crazy on me, and I was just like, no biggie. It's cool. I'm straight. And the person who was there with me was like, how can you be so calm? I was like, why should I worry about it? Everything's cool. God's got this worked out. That's the peace that surpasses all human understanding. When you spend time with God, you don't even know you're about to get cussed out that day. But when you get cussed out, you're like, well, all right. Now, if I hadn't been in my word for a while, I'd have had a wee bit of a different response. So God's words give you length of days. It gives you long life. It gives you peace. It gives you certainty about your path when you don't know what to do. Acknowledge me, Proverbs 3 says later in that verse. Verse 5, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. What does that mean to acknowledge God? That means, watch this, what is this? This is Jesus himself. So when I acknowledge him, I put him first and I talk to him first. I seek him first. And when you do that, he'll make your path straight. He'll show you what you're supposed to do. We already talked about that. His word gives you direction about what to do. He says, your word is foundational and a priority in every matter in our life. It provides direction for us. The Bible says your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. In other words, God's word is a flashlight shining on where you should go in dark places. We already talked about it. God's word gives you wisdom. We talked about that. Let's see. Somebody said, you know, I'm supposed to read my word every day, and when I do, you know, you want me to memorize scripture and all this other stuff at sometimes. But somebody said to another friend, they said, I feel so stupid when I study the word of God because I don't remember stuff. I just don't seem to grasp it. I don't know if any of y'all feel that way. You feel like you're reading, and it's just like, it just feels like it's just foreign to you. And the friend responded to the other friend, well, do you remember what you ate for breakfast on Tuesday 3 weeks ago? No. Of course I don't. And the friend said, but did it still nourish you and support you, even though you don't remember what you ate? Well, yeah. Well, here's the point. You don't have to remember everything you read in the Bible. But the word is flowing inside your spirit. And as it does, it's giving you the strength and sustenance you need to deal with life each and every day. So I don't care if you read it and you go, I didn't get nothing. That's all right. It's still feeding you. You ever ate food, you didn't like how it tastes, but it still nourished you? Ooh, that's a good point too. When you read it and it's convicting, you don't like how it tastes, but it's still dealing with you, still working in you. Come on, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's words ensures victory in your path. Joshua 1:8 says, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do according in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You want to have success in your life? Read your Bible. Pastor, I don't understand how that works. Me neither. Just do it. Just read, and you meditate on the word, and we'll talk about that another day, and you will have great success. It promises success. It promises us that we'll stay away from sin if you read your Bible. How can a young man keep his way pure? Psalm 119:9-11 says, but by reading your word, by taking heed to your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. All of that, Psalms 119 says, is how the word benefits you. D.L. Moody said this. He said, this book will do one of two things. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. My husband used to say this. He used to say, because we had young people who liked to smoke weed a lot. He said, if you're going to smoke weed, read the Bible. If you read the Bible, keep smoking weed. That is not good pastoral advice if you think about it. But what he was saying was, the more you read your Bible, even when you're doing wrong, the more you'll want to keep reading the Bible and stop doing wrong. But if you just do wrong and don't read the Bible, you're going to run even further away from God. So if you're in the middle of some sin and you don't know how to get out of it, you know, don't let somebody tell you, well, you got to quit this before you come. You ain't got to quit nothing to read your Bible. Matter of fact, if you slept with somebody that wasn't your spouse last night, in the morning, get up and read your word. You got high last night, read your word before you go to bed. You cuss somebody out, go read your word afterwards. Because the enemy is trying to keep you from reading your word so that, watch this, when you read your word, you will want to stop doing what you just did. I don't see anywhere in scripture where it says, you have to stop sinning before you come to me and read my Bible. Everywhere I see, Jesus is like, come on, just the way you are. Come to me, all you who burden and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So stop worrying about having to stop something and just start reading the Bible. You want to know how to lose weight? Read the Bible. I kid you not. It is the strangest thing. I look back through my journals this year because I said, Lord, what put this thing in me to start exercising? Like, I've been wanting to do this for, like, in my 20s, but what the heck happened now? What went on this year? So I reviewed my journals, and there was really no switch. I just kept reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, I would see God say things in the Bible that encouraged me to keep on working out each and every day. I would see stuff in the Bible that I was like, that has to do with exercise. Now, it might be about, you know, might be about Jehoshaphat and a war. I'd be like, oh, they exercised when they walked that wall. Holy Spirit, give you illumination. It seems weird, but this word has everything in it to transform your life. What do I want you to do? Read your word. Now, for some of you, I know that you're like, well, hey, I don't even know where to start. I don't know what to do. So we have this little video, and this video is coming, and this is where we're going to close, comes from Pastor Jerry Dierman's church, The Rock, and it's where we get our Operation Solid Lives discipleship program from. But we also have journals. I don't know, Jen, if you had a chance to get any of those. He didn't get a chance to tell you about it. Did you see that email? Do you have the video? Okay. All right, don't worry about it. If you need journals, you can go to our education facility afterwards. You're going to see that. But these journals are very cool. So you're going to see a little bit about reading the word. We're on a reading plan. And so as a church, we're reading through the same scriptures together. And it's so profound when you do that. But many of you are saying, why are we reading in the book of Job with our daily devotional? Like, what does Job have to do with anything? Because that's a part of our reading plan. So that's why. So I want you to take a look at this video, and I wanted to encourage you to read your Bible and to teach you how to do that.
The Solid Life Journal and reading plans have been designed to help you become a solid life as you spend time with the Lord daily in reading His Word and applying it to your life. The first few pages of the journal give a brief description of the features in your journal and how it is designed to be used. In the back of your journal, there are three different reading plans: the New Testament plan, the Solid Life reading plan, and the 1-2 plan. The New Testament plan will take you through one chapter or two small chapters per day as you read the New Testament throughout the year. The Solid Life reading plan averages 3 chapters a day, and you'll complete reading the whole Bible in a year. The 1-2 plan averages 4 chapters per day, completing the whole Bible in a year and the New Testament twice. So as you and those around you read, you can easily share and encourage each other from your daily reading. Now, let's begin journaling. As you prepare, ask the Lord to speak to you and welcome His presence wherever you are. Turn to the reading plans in the back, locate and read the chapters for today's date. As you read, the Lord will begin to speak to you. On a blank journal page, capture what the Lord is speaking as a journal entry for that day. Notice that each journal page uses the acronym SOAP to help guide you through the process. Scripture is where you jot down the verse or portion of verses through which the Lord may be speaking to you. Observation is where you can write the truth or insights you see in these verses. Application is the place to write how these truths or insights apply to your life. Prayer is where you can write a prayer and response to God. At the end of your journaling time, jot a title for your entry at the top of the page and make sure to add it in your table of contents so that you can easily find it later. That's the Solid Life Journal. But what do you do if you're on the go and don't have your Bible or journal handy? We're excited to tell you that the Solid Life Reading Plan is also available on your smartphone, tablet, or computer on the Bible app. In your App Store, search for the Bible app. Download and enjoy hundreds of Bible versions in over 900 languages as you read on the go. In the Plan section, search for the Solid Life Reading Plan and select the Start Plan option. Now, you can use the Bible app to access and complete your daily reading plan. What's more, you can track your progress, highlight scriptures, share with others, and even have your daily reading read aloud to you. The Bible app is available on iOS and Android devices, and all of these great features can also be accessed online at Bible.com. Simply set up an account, start your plan, and you're good to go for the year. Remember, reading is only a part of the process. As you read and hear what the Lord is speaking to you, make sure you have somewhere to write down what He is saying so that you can apply it to your life. For more details, visit us online at gototherock.com/journal. May you become a more solid life as you read, journal, and apply what God is speaking to you with the Solid Life Journal.
Amen. So if you don't have that journal at the end of service or at the end of the day, if you go back to the educational facility where the kids are, Jen can meet you over there, and you can purchase one from her. They're $5. If you say, you know, I don't have $5, you can take any old book that you find, and you can get that Bible app for free, and you'll also have the same reading plan available to you. The idea is we just want you to read the Bible, and we want you to read through it together. Which one you choose to do, whether if it's new to you and reading four chapters a day is too much, just do the New Testament. That's one chapter a day. And if you're ready to try more, do the New Testament and the Old Testament, and you will have read through the entire book in a year. Here's the thing. If you miss a day, don't beat yourself up. God doesn't care about checking off a box. You're meeting with Almighty God. So it's not about checking a box. It's about meeting with him. Does that make sense? Okay, come on, stand to your feet. What do I want you to do today? Read the word. Hey, you guys got that? This is a great message. You figured that out. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life or you want to make a recommitment, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come up, or if you need prayer for anything, they'll be here for you. All of those of you who are on a prayer team, I don't know who you are, Jen, whoever they are. I know, Jen, you have to go to the back. Who else? Leaders, people who pray that I know, that you already know you're supposed to be up here. Come on. The guys are coming from back. Okay, they'll be up here if you want prayer, if you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, if you want to commit all over to Jesus again the first of the year. They're here for that, or if you just need prayer. Those of you who are saying, I got this, and I got some cracks, I'm ready to read the word, lift your hands. Just lift your hands. Let me pray for you. Father, I declare that this is going to be the greatest week of their life in the word. I declare, Father, consistency. I declare, Father God, that they're going to hear from you like never before. I declare, Father God, a release in the spiritual realm of understanding of what they read. I pray, Father God, that you give them a hunger, that each and every morning they wake up, that they are excited and they have time to spend with you. We thank you, Father God, that as we feed on the word, that you are developing us like never before. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now and forevermore. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be, I dismiss you in the Lord. If you need a book, you can follow Jen over. This is Jen. Wave your hand if you don't know who she is. God bless you. And if you're a visitor, don't forget to visit the hospitality table and get your free gift.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.